Got to get the energy going this morning, right? God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you. My name is Eric Dirks, and this is, I almost said my name wrong there. It's like I just got it new or something.
Yeah.
Justin Grifford, and we welcome you this morning as your pastors, and we thank you so much for being here today on what looks to be a gorgeous day. Today is a very special day. We're glad that you're here, and if you notice here, I didn't get better looking. There's a guy sitting over here, Shannon. He is from Megaforce, and he is going to bring the message to you today. And I tell you what, if you haven't been out to the Megaforce event at the high school yet on Friday or Saturday, make sure you plan to be there today at 4. It is an amazing event. I got to see a little bit on Thursday at what they did at the Clinton Elementary School, and they were just excellent, and they have a great message. And so please come today at 4 o'clock if you haven't been there already, or maybe come anyway, even if you have, right? That would be excellent as well. We do have some announcements. If you would turn in your bulletin this morning. Right after second service, if you are a guardian of a youth, a parent of a youth, or you know of someone, maybe you're a grandparent and you don't know if they're going to be in church today, your kids are going to be in church today, there is a parent meeting for all the youth going on the mission trip this summer. So make sure that you let them know or come. It is at 11:30. And then I believe it's not on here, but I was thinking there was two different parent meetings today. Jamie, I believe, scheduled that so people could have plenty of time, but it could be because of the Megaforce event, she has moved that second meeting. So, but anyway, know that today at 11:30, there's a mission trip parent meeting in the chapel downstairs. Please let all the appropriate folks know about that. It is very important. There are forms that have to be signed and things like that for the kids to be able to go on the mission trip this summer. Believe it or not, that is coming up very quickly. I'm also excited, and he didn't know I'm going to announce this, but Paul, my son, is going to be speaking at annual conference this year at one of the evening shows. A few years ago, after I believe it was Katrina, he was reading a book, and it made him realize, I wonder if those kids down there lost all their books. And he collected several thousand, I don't even remember, books, and we took them down to Louisiana, and or I guess it's to say Louisiana. Yeah. Right? Louisiana.
Say a lot of different ways.
New Iberia is where we took them. And he just was treated like royalty after doing that. But anyway, because of that, the conference has asked him to speak as a youth representative. And only two youth of the entire state were asked to speak. So I'm pretty, I have a Christian pride in that regard. So anyway, you might want to shake his hand whenever you get a chance. Don't miss the study guide for this week. And of course, this is Confirmation Sunday as well. So if you have a relationship, or even if you do have a relationship, folks, as a member of this church, someone who worships here, to the confirmands, six kids are going to give their life to Christ today. And two of them have been baptized. The other four will be baptized today. So that is going to be a great celebration service. Don't miss the Ignite Ministry insert as well. Okay, if you would turn to the connection card, make sure you fill that out. Let us know that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we especially welcome you today. Thank you so much for your presence. We pray that you feel God's presence. And if you would fill this out, put your name, address, telephone number, your information, so we can contact you and say thank you so very much for worshiping with us on this gorgeous day. Are you ready for a great worship service today? Let us pray. Holy God, you are an amazing God, and we thank you so very much for this opportunity to worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather here together without fear. We give you praise for all those men and women who give their life for that freedom. As we come together as a church family, God, we ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us. Yes, we know that you are here, but we want to be deliberate in asking you, Lord, to come into our lives today. For we gather to celebrate you. We gather to glorify you and honor you, Lord. And so anoint us powerfully in Jesus' name. May all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place, God, because of your powerful presence. May the light, your light, shine in us, Lord. May it reach all those dark corners that we thought were secret. And come to find out, Lord, you knew all along. We love you, God. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy name, amen. If you're able, would you please stand with us? Turn to page 529 in your hymnals. How Firm a Foundation. Let's sing stanzas 1, 2, and 5.
First, I have a question. Who can tell me what sin is? Any guesses? Doing something bad? That's really good. That's close. Sin is anything we do or say or think that goes against what God has told us in the Bible to be truth. It is anything that makes God unhappy. What are some of the things that we do that go against God and make God unhappy? Anybody? Killing? That's an interesting one. Anybody else? What do you do that's bad? Lying? That's a good one. What about you, Hudson? You got one? I'm sure you can come up with something. Anybody? We need some more. What about disobeying your parents? Do you think that makes God upset? Yeah.
You're asking the wrong people.
Come on, we need some. We gotta fill this. How about one more? stealing? All right. What is this thing we are writing on? It's an egg? Yep, it's just a hard-boiled egg. Have you ever touched an egg? How does it feel? What does it look like? It's hard and cold sometimes. Maybe a little rough sometimes. This egg reminds me of our hearts before we know Jesus. Before we know Jesus, our hearts are hard and messy and far from perfect. But this egg also reminds me of what Jesus has done for each of us. Jesus was the Son of God and lived a long time ago. Jesus spent his life telling people about God, how much he loved them, and how God wanted them to live. But Jesus didn't just live for us, he also died for us. He died for us because all of us have done things that we wrote on this egg. We've all lied or not been nice to people or disobeyed our parents. What do we call those things? We call them sin. Our sin keeps us from knowing and following Jesus. I'm going to peel the egg now. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, he rose again and is now living in heaven. Jesus died on the cross for you. And if you believe in Jesus and tell him you are sorry for your sin, then he can take away your sin, just like I'm taking off the dark, hard peel of this egg. It's taking a while. Ah, jeez. What does it look like and feel like now? Do you know what a hard-boiled egg feels like when it's all peeled? Feels soft and squishy. Yummy. This is what happens to our heart when we ask Jesus to forgive our sins, the things that make him unhappy. Our heart changes from messy and dark and hard to being clean and soft. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to be our friend. Help us remember that God can peel away the sin in our life when we ask him to live in our hearts. Amen.
At this time, if you would look at the back of your bulletins, you'll see, for joys and concerns, you'll see a list of those who are in the nursing home, those who are also in the hospital, those who are home from the hospital, recovering from surgery. If you would definitely keep those names and those faces in your prayers. Also keep in your prayers those who are in the armed forces scattered throughout the world. And also, if you would take the just this on the back of your notes with the kids that have gone through confirmation, if you would also keep them in your prayers, just pray over these names just as they continue or really start at this point in their Christian walk, in their journey. If you would just lift those names up, just because kids really do face so much turmoil and so much trouble today in being faithful in that walk. So definitely keep those names in your prayer, lift those up. And I would ask if you would just bow your heads and pray with me at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. You alone are God. And we praise you. And Lord, we just worship you and all that we are and all that we do and every step that we take and every breath we take and every thought we have, God, we just will it all to you and we just give it all to you, God. And we lift up these names. We ask that you be a light, that you continue to mend, continue to heal those that are recovering. And God, be with these names. Be with these names as you lead them, as you bring them closer and closer to yourself. Be with these names as you draw them unto yourself. God, we just lift up your name and we praise you and dwell in us, dwell amongst us as we continue to do so today. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you would take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and while you're turning there, I just want to point out that we are all here this morning. We did not get raptured yesterday at 6 o'clock. Okay, if you guys know what I'm talking about. So, I thought of that too. We have a long ways to go if we're all still here. So, but maybe, I don't know necessarily what they were thinking, because maybe they thought Jesus was just kidding in Matthew 24, when he says, no man will know the day or hour, no angel, not even the Son. So maybe they thought Jesus was just joking about that. But that's neither here nor there. John chapter 13. So starting in John chapter 13, starting in verse 3, this is actually from the Message translation. It reads, Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, and put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. Then he got to Simon Peter. Peter said, Master, you wash my feet? Jesus answered, You don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough to you later. Peter persisted, You're not going to wash my feet ever. Jesus said, If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing. Master, Peter said, Not only my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head. Jesus said, If you've had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now, and you're clean from head to toe. My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean. But not every one of you, he knew that who was betraying him. That's why he said, not every one of you. After he had finished washing their feet, he took his robe, put it back on, and went back to his place at the table. Then he rose. Do you understand what I have done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. This is a special time. You know how whenever you meet certain people and you just immediately like them, you really don't even know them yet, but there's something about that person that just really, you feel like you could be great friends if you had the chance. Well, that's on Thursday when I met Shannon. That's exactly how I felt with Shannon, I just am really excited to hear him speak this morning. He is a pastor of a church down in Texas. I'm not sure if it's in Dallas.
Monday?
It's not Tuesday?
No, it's next to it.
Oh, it's next to it? Oh, okay. All right. see what I mean? But anyway, I just want you to welcome warmly Shannon Waters from Megaforce. Shannon?
Thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, and you know what? There's one thing I forgot. After his message, there are Megaforce envelopes, and we're going to take an offering. And so when you all leave, there are going to be ushers at the doors, both the glass doors and these doors here. If you would care to put, whether it's cash or whether it's a check to Megaforce, correct? Either one, just do that and put that in the baskets that will be at the doors. It's like we do when we have the Gideons in town, and you all respond to that very well. They have been so gracious to come and be here, and so I pray that you respond to them in that way. Sorry, Shannon.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here in this great state of Missouri. I got to spend some time in Missouri, in 95, probably not too far away from here in Fort Leonard Wood. What a great place that was at. It was in the heat of the summer, praise God. And I didn't know if I'd ever return back to Missouri after that little summer vacation. And but no, it's a pleasure to be back here. Just felt so welcome. I'm telling you what, there's a great community here. Man, if I didn't know any better, I would really think I was back home in Texas. It just is your warmth and your kindness and how you invited us in and just have taken care of us. Have, you know, Cynthia, you've driven me around. You fed me and driven me around and fed me and cooked for me, washed my clothes, fed me, and I'm so thankful for that. But this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit just about servanthood. You know, on the nighttime performances, if you haven't been out to Megaforce, I'm going to have to come out there because y'all feel way far away from me. But on the nighttime performances, you know, we get to do one of the greatest things and that everybody gets, you know, should desire to do, and that's get to spread the message of Jesus Christ. We get to share the gospel. And a lot of times on Sunday morning, I think, you know, these are usually church folk. You know, they know about Jesus. They've probably been, you know, in his house. They read his word. But I just want to encourage you this morning about servanthood, about what it means to be a servant. You know, Jesus is our example. There in John, that 15th verse right there, he says, I'm leaving you an example that you should follow. And what is that example? Well, Jesus, the Lord, the Master, the Teacher, he didn't think of himself as being more holy than any of his other disciples that he had with him. And so that night he took a robe tied around his waist. He got a wash bowl, poured water in it, and he took the form of the lowest servant. A lowest servant, and he started washing the disciples' feet. You know, this was really reserved for the servant, the lowest servant of any house that the people would go to. And what they would do, people that had been traveling, was their custom that when they came in, that they would wash the dust and everything off their feet because, you know, they didn't wear socks and shoes like we do. And so they would wash their feet. And that was, you know, the most humble, low job. And no one wanted to do it. So it was always reserved for the least, the very least servant. And so that's what Jesus did. He took the form of a servant. Not just any servant, but the one that did the lowest job. And he said, this is the example that you should live by, that you should be a servant. And in 1 Peter 2:21, it says this about Jesus. He says, it is our example. He is our example that we should live by, that when people said bad things about him, he didn't respond. There was no guile, I don't know how y'all pronounce it up here, found in his mouth. In other words, in Texas, it said, you know, he wasn't cussing and hollering and screaming. No, he was very pleasant all the time. When someone spoke evil of him, he didn't return evil for evil. It was always good. How many of you can say that this morning? When someone speaks evil of you, you just, oh, bless your heart, brother. Thank you. You're spitting in my face and all this, but I'm going to die on the cross for you anyway. Not me. Mm-mm. I got a little fire in my bones, and that don't happen. When someone speaks evil of me, I get a little offended. Am I the only one? I hope not. If y'all are holy, let's switch. Y'all preach to me this morning. But no, it's not the case. So many times we don't want to take that position. We don't want to take that position of a servanthood. We forget who we're actually serving. We forget that what Jesus has done for us. And so on Sunday morning, I want to encourage you to be that servant. There's so many things in the church that go on from day in and day out that you think, well, you know, that's the pastor's job. The pastor is supposed to do this. He's supposed to do that. You know, his staff, you know, they're supposed to do this or do that. And, you know, we come to church on Sunday mornings. We sit in the pew. We receive the word of God. And then we turn around and go home. And I just don't think that's how God called us to live. Matter of fact, if you'd go and study the epistles, you'd see that Paul, so many times, when he opens a letter, he would say, Paul, a servant of Christ. John, a servant of Christ. James, a servant of Christ. You'll go on and you'll see all these apostles identifying with Christ in the form of a servant. So if the apostles are identifying with Christ as a servant, what about us? Do we identify ourselves as a servant of Christ? And not too many times, you know, being a pastor now for a few years, I have this little number in my head, about 10% of the church does about all of the work, while the rest of the people just are not getting really involved, not getting connected. You know, being kind of on the charismatic side, our praise team, I got people all the time wanting to volunteer to play on the praise team. But you know what? I don't have anybody coming up to volunteer to clean a toilet. I'm telling you what, you know, those things need to be clean, amen? That's what keeps people coming back. But no one wants to do those humbling jobs. Too many times we just want to do what, you know, people see us. And, you know, I want to know our heart in that situation. I don't think that's the right kind of servanthood. Matter of fact, the Bible says don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You know, do it in meekness. The Bible teaches us by love serve one another. By love serve one another. And I got to thinking about that, and not too long ago, I had a great friend that I used to travel with, and we'd do doing the same things that we're doing with the Megaforce ministry. His name was Craig Limley, great guy, great leader. And we was at this, it was a Baptist church, and instead of having the high school auditorium, we did it in their church, and we had, you know, the plywood all over the place, had the bricks up there, and just kind of messed the baseball bats, absolutely. Bless those bats. And, I mean, it was a fantastic weekend. Sunday morning comes. We're having a fantastic service. We didn't get all the plywood picked up off the stage because we was coming back that night for another nighttime show. And after the service, we're in the back and getting to meet and greet the people that are leaving. And this little precious lady, she was about 75. She comes up to Craig and she goes, I just don't know about all this stuff that y'all are doing. And he was kind of taken. He goes, well, what do you mean? And she says, I don't know about you coming into church with all that loud music. I don't know about you coming into church with fire. Because sometimes, you know, we set the stage on fire sometimes. She goes, I don't know about all that flesh, because we have the tank tops on that you're showing during the show. I just don't know about all that. And, you know, this ain't Craig's first rodeo. Craig's been around a while, and he was like, well, ma'am, I appreciate, you know, you coming to me and talking to me and expressing your concerns. But he says, you know, ma'am, I just got one question for you. I just want to know, what are you doing to reach the lost in your community? And she looked at him, very puzzled, and she says, well, I guess nothing. He says, well, I like what we're doing, the way we're doing something, a lot more than what you're doing nothing. Now, if you ever want to make a 75-year-old lady mad, you just tell her that. Let me tell you, Granny was mad. She didn't leave there with a smile, amen, and blessing our hearts. No, but she walked off, and there was something that lit inside of her. Not too long after that crusade, we found out about this servanthood of this woman. See, after Craig had challenged her what she was doing to reach the lost in her community, she went home, and she did the only thing that she could do. She started baking cookies. And everybody that made decisions for Christ during that week, she would take a plate of cookies to. Said, I can't break a bat and I can't break a brick, but I can bake some cookies. God bless you. I don't know about the people that received those cookies, but I know if it was me, and someone brought me a plate of cookies and told me they loved me, that would do more for me than watching people break bats or bricks. That means someone cares enough about me to come to me and my house with a one-on-one conversation, invite me back to church. That's the heart of a servant. That's the heart of a servant. It's not saying, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. It's about saying, God, what have you equipped me with? What is it that I can do? And show me where I should go. That's the heart of a servant. That's the heart that the church needs. That's the heart that what people in the community need to see. That we as Christians just don't wear the name, but know our actions speak louder than our words. I love it that John, he talks about, James, he says, you have faith, I have works. He says, I'll show you my faith by what I do and how I serve. It's not just good enough to say, yeah, God, I believe in you, I have faith in you. He said, no, that true faith, that relationship comes in the form of a servant. And as I serve, not because I want to, but because of what he's done, and he is my example that I should follow, I too will serve others. I too will serve others. I don't know what needs the church has. I don't know what needs this church has. But I do know, just like Pastor Eric was saying, there's a great connection with him. I believe with everything in me, his heart is good. That he has a direction for the church. That he has a vision for the church to go. And as the church comes together and they form and they get behind him and say, I'm telling you what, you want to watch him just fall over, just come up to him after church and say, Pastor, what do you need me to do? I'm here to serve. Whatever, clean the toilets, I'll clean them. It doesn't matter. Vacuum, whatever. Whatever you need done, I'll do. He'll probably break down, start crying, something. But that would really shock him. Because it won't be just one person. I believe that when we take on Christ and the servanthood, man, it just calls us to action. Now, I want to challenge the church into action, into service. Because long after we leave, after Mega Force leaves, and you're going to have all these cards. And follow-up is so important. Getting back in touch with all these people that have come to make decisions for Christ. Let me tell you something, it's too much for one man. It's too much for sometimes a whole team of people. It needs more people. It needs more people saying, you know what, my time is not worth doing just what I want to do. This form of servanthood, and I'm surprised that I don't have my book with me. Usually I'm real nervous without my little green book, without my notes, but I just want to speak to you from my heart this morning. Had time to meditate on it. I know where God wants to go. But there's something about serving that does something to us. It kills pride. How many of you know that God does not like pride? Matter of fact, he hates it. Matter of fact, when Satan was kicked out of heaven, it was because of pride. It was pride. And that pride that's in each and every one of us keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. It's like, no, God, you know what? I'm gonna keep doing what I want to do. Even though you're calling me to something else, it's not really what I want to do, so I'm not going to do it. That's pride. And the Bible says pride goeth before the fall. Let me tell you something. If you have an issue with pride, you'll never be the servant that God wants you to be. So when you start serving in the way that God wants you to serve, you start killing that thing in us called pride. And when we start killing pride in ourselves, and that's when Paul says, I die daily. I'm killing my pride. Why? Because of him, because of Christ. I'm serving him. And when you die, that little I in you starts to shrink, and the big Christ in you starts to grow. Let me tell you something. That's when lives will be changed around you. That's when people will look at you and say, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something about you. What is it? And that opens a door for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the gospel goes out of your mouth into the life of somebody else, change happens. Amen? Change happens. It goes inside of them and it does something. It fires them up. What better is it to have a changed life? And you do it through the form of a servant. Through a form of a servant. So I challenge you this morning. Don't stay where you're at. Don't be comfortable just coming to church. Don't be comfortable just going to Sunday school. Don't be comfortable just coming back here and drinking some of this great coffee that I know is great. Or getting some water. Man, there's something out there for you to do. This church needs you. I don't know how many of you in here teach Sunday school or what your role is, but I guarantee if you go up and ask your pastor or someone involved in church, what is it? How can I help you? This place would just explode because of the love of Christ that is at work, in this place. So I challenge you this morning to think about what Jesus done, not just on the cross, but that night of the Last Supper, when he took the form of a bondservant, and he took the basin and the water pitcher, and he washed the disciples' feet. Whose feet will you wash this morning? Who will you serve? I hope some of you this morning will say, you know, there is something I can do in church. I want to do it. Maybe God has called you out from wherever you are this morning and has put a challenge in your heart, put a burning in your heart to do something that furthers his kingdom. You know, maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never heard about Jesus and you'd like to. So at this time, I would just ask you to bow your heads with me. And if there's anyone in here that is lost, that means you don't have Christ as your Savior, but you want to. You need his saving grace. You need him in your life. If there's anyone of you in here that need that, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, if there's anyone here this morning that needs a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up and let me pray for you. One, two, three. Well, amen. That means we're all Christians here this morning. It means we're all going to the same place. Hallelujah. Just like Pastor said over here, we might have missed a rapture, and we got about 3.5 good years less if we did. But we're all going to heaven. We got a job to do. And as we do that job, we need to take that form of a servant and serve one another. Well, this morning, you know, I didn't come on my own behalf. This is not Shannon Waters Ministries. I come on the behalf of Megaforce. Megaforce is a 501c3 organization. And what that means is we're a nonprofit organization. And any gift that you make to Megaforce, if you need to make a tax write-off, it can be done that way. But I want to tell you about the heart of Megaforce. The heart of Megaforce is reaching the lost first and foremost. It's a ministry of going out and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in America, but all over the world. Not too many days from now, in about 3 weeks, I'm going to be in Africa. And as I'm in Africa on a mission trip over there, you know, we'll be building a house. But, you know, I'm taking the message of Megaforce with me over there. I'm going to be doing some of the things that you see us do at the nighttime performance to reach a group of people in Africa, in Katale, Kenya. And I would ask for your prayers. and me going. I'm going to take two of my four daughters. I have four beautiful daughters from the ages of 13 to 2. Now, just wait, you know, some of you are doing math. Yes, that's 18 years of a teenage daughter in the house. Amen. I need your prayers. Anybody ever raised teenage daughters? Woo! I'm just finding out about it. Oh, my goodness. You know, my little 12-year-old daughter, she was so precious. And I was like, all these other parents, oh, you know, you just wait until she turns 13. Not my Brinley. No, no, no. She's not going to be that way. She's going to be nice and precious, and she's going to be... 13 happened. It happened. I wasn't prepared. What is going on? No, she's still a great kid, but there's just something happens at 13 that, you know, I don't know what, it's hormones, I guess. I don't know. And being a guy, I've never had experience what girls experience, and so I don't understand everything, but I guarantee you, in the next 18 years, I'll have a better idea. I'm going to be able to relate to my wife a whole lot better. I'm probably the only dad in here that can do pigtails, ponytails, straighten hair, curl hair, blow-dry hair. Whatever you want to do with hair, I can do it. Absolutely. I can put bows in it. They make something for that. I myself cannot make it grow. But I say that because I want you to know what makes me want to leave my wife and kids so many weeks out of the year? It's not that I enjoy getting away from the estrogen in the house. It's not that at all. But I do believe God has a purpose and that he's using Megaforce for his purpose. You know, not only do we get to do nighttime performances, if you haven't been, I encourage you to come out to see it. But we get to go into the schools of America, and we get to bring a message of hope to this generation of kids. And let me tell you something about this generation of kids that we have right now, and what really moves the heart of Megaforce. You know, we have over 3.3 teenage alcoholics. Teenage alcoholics. Now, these are just the ones that we know about that have checked themselves into a rehab. These 3.3 million teenage alcoholics are in a rehab. I don't know how many more are out there that have not checked themselves in, but I'm pretty safe to say you could probably double that number. 3.3 million teenage alcoholics. We have 3,000 girls, teenage girls, from the ages of 12 to 17. 3,000 every single day becoming pregnant. And the highest number that are getting pregnant are the ones from 12 to 13. That number is on the rise. That's babies having babies. How many of you know that's not right? That is not right. That just moves me. And the other day I gave this statistic and I re-looked it up and I had it wrong. But every day in America, every single day, we have 1,500 kids, 1,500 teenagers attempt suicide. They attempt it, with 100 of them being successful. Just last night, before we came out for the program, a lady gives Jonathan a note. That's the guy that I'm here with. He gives him a note saying, please pray for my nephew. He's on his way to Texas, but he just called his mom and said he ain't going to make it. He planned on killing himself before he got there. That was 15 minutes before we went on the show last night. The youth of America is hurting. They're hurting. And so what Megaforce does, we go in there and we don't take a watered-down message. I know we don't get to... preach about Jesus in the school, but we do give them something to say yes to. We tell them not to give up on their hopes and dreams and goals in life. We try to encourage them that, you know what, you have aspirations, you need to go after them. Times Magazine not too long ago said this generation of kids is called Generation X. They're a faithless, fatherless, hopeless generation with no hopes, dreams, or aspirations in life. Well, we at Megaforce just simply do not believe that. And we know that if we give the kids something to say yes to, give them something to say yes to, give them something, an alternative, that we believe that we can make a difference. We know we can make a difference. I've been in a school here recently where this little girl, she would take a cigarette lighter and she would get the end of it real hot and she would just burn herself over and over again. And her arm was just full of these burns and these big welts. And I couldn't understand why she was doing it. But she's saying the pain that she suffers at home and the things that she has to go through are too great. She says, you know, I can't control what happens to me at home. She says, but I can control this. I can control this pain. And as long as I feel this pain, that's why we go. That's why we go out and leave our families from weeks to weeks. Because we love the youth of this nation. These kids that are growing up now are going to be our future leaders. They're our future. And if we don't invest in their lives, who will? Who will? I think TV and media have already done enough damage to them. We got to go in there, and I feel like when we go to a school that we're rescuing somebody. If it's just one. If it's just one. I know we've done our job. You know, there's 12 to 13 schools right now in the month of August that have no sponsorship. They've just called us and said, hey, look, we're having some real problems here. We have gang violence. We got drugs running rampant. We need your help. We need you to come with this message that you have. And being Steve, the great guy that he is, he says, all right, we'll be there with no funding. A school assembly costs us $500 to do. And these 12 or 13 schools right now have absolutely no sponsorship. None. And so, you know, we go and we ask for an offering, and the envelopes that we'll have that you'll receive, I'm just going to ask you to pray and ask God what he would do, what you should do. Will you partner with us? Will you help us and send us to these schools so we can continue to make a difference? You know, if that offends you in any way, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not asking you to empty out your pockets. I'm not asking you to do something crazy. I'm just asking you, if God moves you, to just do something. Whether it's $1 or $1,000, it doesn't matter. Every dollar counts. Every dollar goes to reaching another kid. And so this morning, as we get ready to close and take up an offering, would you just pray about what God would have you to do? I want to thank you for allowing me to come and share my heart this morning, share the word of God. Man, you're a great group of people, and if I could, I'd move my family up here. I tell you what, you got a beautiful place to live. The kids up here have been very respectful. And, man, I'm just so blessed to be up here. So, Pastor Eric, I'll take it. Justin?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Shannon. As as you reach for your hymnal and go to 413, I think we have some things to think about just in way of what are we doing for particularly the youth of this area, personally, as far as servanthood goes, and what are we doing in that? How are we using our gifts and our talents and our time and our money to further the kingdom of Christ? And during the song, as we sing A Charge to Keep, I have, I really want you to just really chew on some of these things of what you can do, if you and how you can support the men and women at Megaforce, and also what you can do to continue that these kids in this community see Christ each and every day in a whole new way. So again, if you would go ahead and stand and turn to 4:13 and think about those things as we sing A Charge to Keep I Have.